Let's go catch a flight with Sid. As you're leaving, Sid, it's an honor. It's not a burden. It's an honor to get to do this. It's an honor to be asked to do this. Stephen Furtick wrote a book, and a lot of people have their opinions on him, and he's not perfect. He's got good things and bad things, but he wrote a book called Unqualified. And the religious community doesn't like Stephen Furtick because they consider him unqualified. And maybe he is, but we all are. If you think you're qualified, you're not. I don't care how much seminary you've been to. I don't care what all you've done. We are never qualified to carry what God has given us, but he makes us qualified. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Marty. But while we're picking on Mary, God made you the way you are. Because let me tell you something, Mary, you're quiet and maybe shy or whatever the words are. But if you grab a microphone, you know what? This whole room will go quiet and listen. They'll go quiet and listen. Because when you speak, it carries some weight. When Courtney White speaks in this house, it carries weight. I can get up and say stuff, and oh, James is saying something again. And we have to have people. We have to have Sid get up and speak every Sunday. We have to have people that do these things every Sunday. That's what they're called to do. But you don't have to be that, Mary. And I don't think that's what Sid's telling you have to be. He's just saying, you know, walk in that. Walk in what you've learned. Walk in what God showed you. Because there is this element of God put something inside of me. God showed me something. Then I can't keep it in. And that's what he's saying. But you do it the way God tells you to do it. And in his time and in his way. And don't feel like, oh gosh, I'm shy, everybody's looking at me. That's not that. Okay. We love you. We want you to do good. We want you to walk with him. And I want you to walk your path with him. And we want that. So take that as encouragement. We're encouraging you to, you know. But don't let it beat you down, because Satan can do weird stuff. He can do weird stuff with us. And I need to say this. Listen, guys, I've been saved for about 30 years, which is weird for me to say because I don't feel like I'm even 30 years old. But I'm still trying to figure out, like, how to hear God's word. Like, when he talks to you, I'm still figuring this thing out. I really don't think I've got it down. I'm pretty sure I don't. I'm trying to figure it out. But Charlie, when I was worshiping this morning, I knew I was going to mess that song up. I told the worship team, I have spoken on myself. You don't have to be perfect to use what God's given you. God's given you something. I mean, you hadn't even talked about it, but God's given you something. Don't wait till you're perfect to use it, because if you wait till you're perfect to use it, you will never use it, and that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to say, I can't do this because so-and-so does it better. I've been saved since I'm 30 years. I've been leading worship since I was 13. And I knew this morning I was going to screw that song up. Did God care? No, he didn't care. If you cared, you were in the wrong place. No, I cared because you just can't help it. You don't mess something up. Linda may beat me with a rod later. No, just kidding. No, Linda would not do that. Sorry. That's absolutely not Linda. Sorry. So I don't know. I felt like I was supposed to tell you that, bro. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this thing out, and if you're like, James, you have no idea what you're talking about, then just move on. But okay. We're going to read about two stories about boats this morning. Two boats. Two different boats you can be in. And this is going to be kind of my illustration. I struggle whether this is what I'm supposed to talk or not. Sometimes I feel like I say the same thing every time I get up here. And it's kind of the same thing, but then Sid says, you know, the whole thing, you know, I've only got one sermon, and I'm just every week I'm breaking off a little piece of it. So this is part of my little piece that I'm breaking off. Most of you weren't here last time I spoke, so you may not remember it. Let's pull over in Mark chapter 4. You can pull up Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's kind of where we're going to start. See, you know, we're on this whole thing, this journey That's the way I look at our life. And I think it's very accurate. And I think the word kind of portrays that. This is a journey that we're on. And there's different phases to our journey. And it changes constantly. And there's different aspects of our journey. There's different pieces of our journey. And it changes and it ebbs and it flows and it's different depending on where we're at in life. And I think there's an important part of recognizing what's in front of us in this journey, where we're going, and like what this looks like right now. And these two stories are going to kind of contrast one another, and that's what I want to talk about, is this contrast that we have as Christians, as believers, of these two different stories. So let's jump in Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 41, I'm in the NIV. And this is a story about Jesus. I'm going to read it real quick because it's not very long. But he's in the boat with the disciples and the storm comes. So let's start there. In verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." I think there's something to that, but we won't go into that part of it. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" All right, cool boat story, right? Cool boat story. Awesome boat story. We could preach a million sermons out of that. You probably heard a million sermons out of that. It's an awesome place, this awesome miracle that Jesus performed. In this whole idea of being in a boat. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 27, while that boat story is really close in your mind. In Acts 27, and I won't read all of this one. Different boat story. This is Paul the Apostle. He's been arrested. Following Paul's story, he had a wild life, guys. At this point in time, he's arrested. He's been thrown on this ship, and they're shipping him off to where he's supposed to go on trial. And they had been out in sea. Paul told them, said, "Look, we don't need to do this. I just don't think this is going to work out. The storms are bad. It's going to be a bad deal. It's kind of just real quickly getting us up to where we're at here." And you know, he kind of says, "Like, this is not going to end well, guys. This is not going to end well. We don't need to do this." But Paul really didn't have a choice. He's a prisoner, so they put him on the ship. And verse 27 says, On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the sea. And it was about midnight, and the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. For 14 nights, for 14 days, they had been tossed, and they had been turned, and they had been out in a very perilous situation. And then what they do is, just real quickly, to contrast the two stories, Paul urged them to eat. He said, "The last 14 days you haven't eaten anything. But, God has told me, an angel of God has come and told me that, we're going to make it through this. And it's time to get going." When daylight came, they did not recognize the land. This is verse 39, "but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left him in the sea, at the same time untied the ropes and held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made it for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to go, were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely." So that's the other boat story. That's the other boat story. So those are the two contrasting things that I just kind of wanted to talk about this morning. And we look at our journey. We look at what we're going through in life. Let's look at Jesus' boat real quick. For one, they all wanted to be there. Who didn't want to be in the boat with Jesus? I mean, these are the disciples. Crowds are following him everywhere. I mean, he can't get it. He literally is trying to escape crowds at this point. He's like, get in the boat. Let's go over to the satellite. They get to this. Oh, they're over here. Let's get on the, you know, it's just like this constant, like, I just need a second, guys. Let me breathe for a second. To be on Jesus' boat was a highly desired place to be. Highly desired place to be. At that moment, very brief moment in time, you know, it was, you know, a lofty place to be. Everybody wanted to be there. I want to be right there with Jesus. I didn't last long, but the wind and the waves were still crashing on Jesus' boat. So Jesus is in the boat. You want to be there. You're excited. You're one of the disciples, but the wind and the waves are there. The fear of death is there. They were afraid they were going to die. It's like, do you not care that we're going to drown? So they thought they were going to die. I mean, I'm sitting here with God Almighty himself, and I'm going to fall into this ocean and die. So you had this fear of death. Everyone on the boat was panicked. Everybody was freaking out. Oh my gosh, these waves, this wind, it's terrible. But in this story, there was an immediate resolution to it. Immediately. It happened like that. Jesus gets up. They wake Jesus up. He's sleeping on his cushion. Wakes him up. Says, hey, you know, we got a situation here. And Jesus says, okay, I'll fix the situation. Be still. And it's over. It's over. The wind and the waves stop. The fear of death is over. Everything's over. In an instant, by the words of Christ himself, it's instantly over. Let's go to Paul's boat. Paul didn't want to be there. Prisoners didn't want to be there. These guys are working there. No, they didn't want to be there. This is a merchant ship. They're working. This wasn't, you know, a Royal Caribbean cruise, you know, where we're going to put our feet up on a chair by the pool. They're working. So it's not like everybody's wanting to be here, especially Paul. Paul's under arrest. Paul's going to be put on trial. So they don't want to be there, but you know what? You're on a boat. There was wind and waves. Same thing. Fear of death. Same thing. Everyone panicked. Same thing. Same situation. Wouldn't this have been a really cool place for God to say, this is how I deal with problems? Paul, I want you to stand up. I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're going to stand up on the bow of that ship, and you're going to say, wind and waves, stop immediately. That'd have been so cool. What a cool story that would have been. Like, just like Jesus did. See, we can walk in the same power that Jesus did. Look at us. Look at what our faith can do. We can do what Jesus did. Now, granted, Paul had done a lot of what Jesus had done. He'd healed people. His garments had touched people, and they had been healed. Okay, so, but in this moment, how cool would that have been? Don't you know all those sailors would have been, oh, God is so good. And the centurion would have got down on his knees and said, God is so good. Surely they served the Christ. And they may have worshipped him. I don't know. They tried to later. But that, man, that would have been so cool, because that's what being a Christian is all about, right? 14 days. Now listen, I've just been on a couple of, you know, nice cruises, you know, these big ships in Caribbean waters, okay? I've been on some kayaks and some turbulent waves for, you know, just a few minutes here and there. I've never been on a ship for 14 days and thinking every second of all 14 days I was about to die. I'm hungry. I have no idea how this is going to end. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not with people I want to be. At least the disciples, when they, at least I'm with God himself in the flesh. I'm here with him. Who am I here with? A bunch of prisoners. 14 days. And it doesn't end really great. Like, okay, 14 days. Okay, all right, it calms down. Let's pull into port. Let's get off the ship. Man, that was rough. No, this thing's going to sink. It's going to crash. And you don't know how to swim, because these people didn't swim for fun back then. Half of you didn't know how to swim. You're like, we got to get to shore. So you not only are on this thing for that long, but it shipwrecks. It ends in a wreck, an absolute literal shipwreck. These are two very contrasting boats that we're in. And note, this had happened to Paul three times, by the way. That guy had a rough life. Paul had a rough life. But man, what a blessed. We can't even put into words what Paul means to us today. And how God used him today. But man, it was rough. So which boat do you want to be in? It's okay. I want to be in the boat with Jesus. Because in this journey that we live, this walk that we're on, we're gonna run into storms. If anybody tells us different, we know they're lying. If we ever hear preachers like, "Oh, nah, it's not how God works. It's not how life works. It's not how all that stuff works. It's beyond me." So, obviously I'm gonna be in the boat with Jesus. He fixed the problem exactly how we wanted it fixed, as soon as we wanted it fixed, in the same timing that we wanted it fixed. Had we been on that boat, that's exactly what it would have said. Jesus, fix this, calm the waves right now. If I could have anything, genie in the bottle, this is what I would say. God, I want you to make it stop being windy and then make the waves stop, and I want it to stop, and I want it to do it right now. I don't want you to wait an hour. I don't want you to wait for 14 days. I want you to do what I want you to do, and I want you to do it immediately. And that's what happened in this story. And that's how we pray. That's how I pray. God, I want this done, and I want it done immediately. I really have no need to sit on this boat for 14 days. You can show me your power right here, right now. Right here, right now, you can show me your power. In Scott's situation, it would be easy. I think he had to leave. Right now, I want you to fix this. There he is. We could say, in your situation, Scott, we could say, God, heal this thing right now. Would you heal my brother? I want you to heal Barbara. I want you to give my mom peace. I want everything to work out. I want that to happen, and I want it to happen immediately, because what good could come out of that? So much good could come out of that. But sometimes we're on that ship for 14 days. 14 weeks, 14 months, 14 years. You look in the Bible, 14 generations. There are things and we look at those people and we can say, oh man, when God answers it, because there's times in our life that God does do that. God will answer that thing. I'm not saying God doesn't work this way, because he absolutely does. That's why we pointed out the story of Jesus. Sometimes you'll say, God, I need this, and I don't even have a whole lot of faith for it, but I need it. And in that situation, God will say, I'll show up right now and fix this right now. And then in those situations, we walk away feeling so loved by God. Oh, he loves me. He fixed this. He healed this for me. And we're so joyous and we're so excited, and we feel so loved by God in that moment. And then we can look at other people that God has delivered them from something. Other people, Scott, that's walked through what you're walking through, and there has been healing, or there has been just instantly fixed, however you want to say it. And we look at them and say, well, God must really love them. They must really be doing something right. I must not be, because I'm still walking through this, and I'm still on this boat. And I've been on this boat for 7 days, and I don't see any end. And there's 8 days, and there's 9 days. But he fixed it. Because I promise you, Paul the Apostle, very acquainted with the story of Jesus on the water. I mean, he was alive when it happened, so I'm sure he heard about it when it happened, because he was walking around persecuting Christians, finding out about this. You know that he disliked Jesus when he was starting to hear about him, the previous Mr. Saul. So he's on this boat with the full knowledge that at any point, God, if he wanted to, could stop this storm. And all Paul's doing is telling people about him. That's all he's doing. That's why he's in prison. That's why he's on his boat. All I'm doing is trying to tell people about you. The bitterness that I could have if I were Paul on that boat. The absolute bitterness that I promise you James Siegel would have had on that boat. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I've been locked up for you. I don't know if this was the second, third. I don't know, Marty, your theologian people would know better. I can't remember which shipwreck in his line of shipwrecks this was. But if it happened before, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's happening again. I would buy a good life vest if I were Paul and keep it with me. I wouldn't go anywhere without a life vest. I don't care where we're going. Macedonia, I don't care. I'm wearing a life vest. That's what I'm doing because probably I'm going to get shipwrecked. I would be bitter. I'd say, God, you better save me. I don't care about all these other jokers. You better save me because I'm doing this for you. That's not what he did. We won't read the rest of the story, but that's absolutely not what he did. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm scared. Not just in the moment, but for a long, long time. So let's back up to the main question. The main question that we're looking at, the big picture that we're looking at, is in this journey that we're on. Why are we on this journey? And Sid's talked about this. We talk about this. I think we all know this. That whole idea that if it was just to get saved, the second we got saved, we'd be gone. We'd be gone. Gotcha. God's like, all right, gotcha. Whoo, shoo. No more difficulties for you. Come on up here with me. You're just going to be raptured. Or the idea that we like to, or people like to put on us. Most Christians know this, but you know, if you're a Christian, you know this. If I become a Christian, then my life will be perfect. My life will be perfect. Everything will be perfect. I won't have struggles anymore, and if I do have a struggle, God will just instantly fix it, and he's just going to be just like Jesus on the boat with me, and Jesus is in my heart, Holy Spirit's all true. So instantly, Jesus is going to fix everything in my life. So man, I got it made now. I got it made now. Who in this world would not become a Christian if that's how it worked? Who? Oh, also, all you got to do is believe in Jesus and say Jesus, and all of a sudden your life's perfect. All other religions are done, guys. It's a done deal. There's nothing else. But what does God have with us? Just people that are getting what they want from him. That's not what God desires. He desires true relationship with us. He did not create us like all these little minions that would just... He gave us free will, guys. This is an amazing, amazing, mind-blowing thing about our God. That he wants us to love him. He wants us to have relationship with him. He cares so much about us that he doesn't want mindless robots that just, because he gives good gifts all the time, because he makes my life perfect all the time, because he makes everything smooth as silk all the time, because he answers every prayer that we throw up there, that, yeah, that's why I'm going to follow God. No, he wants a relationship with us. Our purpose is to please him. It's to please the Father. And he wants relationship. That's how it pleases the Father. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 says, Now the God of peace, I love this, the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good, everything good for doing his will. And he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a side note on that little section right there where he's explaining who he's talking to. The God of peace, through who the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep. I've been challenged, I feel like, a little bit when I start praying or when I'm talking to God. It's easy for me to say, Dear Lord, or Hey God, or however you approach God. It's kind of this normal thing. It's not irreverent, but it's almost like, as I've been challenging, I've been trying to approach God with different God who gives me peace today. God who walks with me today. My God who delivers me from evil today. My God who, I've been trying to just put more emphasis on that. You know, try to think about who I'm talking to. It's not, oh, dear Lord, dear Lord. And that's nothing wrong with that. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I've been trying to approach him and really think about who he is. Because it is easy to start a prayer talking to the creator of the universe. Like he's just an old friend, and I get that. And he is like a friend, I get that. But he's also the creator of the universe. So there needs to be some honor and some reverence when we approach him. And as Pentecostals, it's easy for us to be like, well, he's just my buddy. Yeah, he is your buddy. But he can throw fire down from heaven. He can't do that. I mean, you know, it's happened before. It's possible. Remember who he is. And I just went, what a cool way. God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant. That in itself, we could preach on this, or Sid could. Something really deep. I mean, really, really deep right there. Great shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep. Anyway, my main point is, and work, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So why not fast? Why does God not do these things fast? Why doesn't he make it happen right now? Do it fast, God. Let me get there fast. Let's get deep fast. You know, you want me to be deep? God, you can supernaturally make all these things happen fast. And the analogy comes to mind, raising kids. And it's like teaching them how to do stuff. Like clean your room or something that we do all the time, but it's something, Amber, Tyler, y'all are facing this battle now. It's like, all right, at some point we got to learn how to tie our shoes. All right, at some point, this is an important skill, and you as an adult, unless you're going to buy Velcro shoes, you're going to need to tie your shoes, okay? But you know what? It's a lot faster for me to tie your shoes, and let's get out the door. Okay? You need to learn how to clean your room. It's important. And if you're an adult and you still don't clean your room, you need to learn how to clean your room, make your bed, things like that. This is important, okay? But Kami and I, raising three kids, we're outnumbered. We got stuff to do. Sometimes it says, you know what, let's just get in there and clean it and be done with it. All those things that we have to teach our children, it is so much easier for us just to do them. It's so much faster. It's so much more efficient. We know it's done right. We know it's done correctly. And then we move on. And then we say, see, kids, this is how you do it. Let's go. And God can do that and does do that sometimes. Sometimes I need my shoes tied. And God's going to be like, I got you, man. I'm going to tie your shoes because we got to go. You need this right now, Brett. So yes. Wind and waves, be calm right now. It's over. It's done. You just sit back. But God has such a bigger plan for us. What kind of kid are we raising that at 35 years? That, Linda, if Tyler was still, Mom, I need you to tie my shoes. Can you come over to the house before we come to worship service and tie my shoes because they keep falling off? Have we succeeded as a parent? Exactly. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to know how to deal with this little pathetic enemy we call Satan, that's our enemy, that he ain't scared of, that he's already defeated, and he's walked all over him. He's taken his keys away from him, pulled his pants down in front of him in front of the class. He is nothing. He is nothing. So we need to know how to deal with it. And when this world throws stuff at us, and the world throws wind and waves at us, difficult things that are our enemy, difficult things that come against us, not funny things, real things, very hard things. He wants us to know how to navigate that. He wants us to know how to deal with that. He wants us to know that he's there with us through that thing. Why not fast? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, as some understand slowness. 14 days on the water seems really slow to me, God. Really, I could have got this lesson in day one. Day two max, we're good. I got it. Bad winds, I need to have faith and get me off this water. But we don't know what was happening in those 14 days. We do not know. And we get so frustrated trying to figure that out. We get so frustrated trying to figure out what God is doing. He's doing a new thing. We're looking in the Word. What is God doing? What is God doing? Sid's talking about this unraveling in people's lives, which I totally agree with. God, in a good way. You know, he's unraveling in a good way. But you know, sometimes there's unraveling in an uncomfortable way. Sometimes there's unraveling that we don't like, that we really don't want to do. Because when I've got all my stuff together, I really don't want to be unraveled. I just have gotten this thing figured out. Paul's like, I just have got back on dry land. I really don't want to get up back on another boat right now. I just don't want to be unraveled again. I'm kind of okay. Let me sit here for a minute. Let me catch my breath for a minute. Some things take time. Deep relationships do not happen overnight, and they are not void of difficulty. Name one real relationship you have in your life that did not have a difficult thing that you had to walk through with that person to make it the depth that it is. Marriage, children, friends, whatever it is. Name one real relationship, one meaningful, deep relationship. Kami and I got married when we were 13 years old. No, not really. That's what our kids like to say. We were kids. We'll put it that way. I loved my wife. The day we got married, I loved her. I had no idea how amazing she was that day. Spirit, we hadn't walked through much. A little bit, you know. What we thought was some stuff. And it was. Not to be a little the beginning of any relationship because it has a start there. But this summer, we'll be married 25 years. I love her in a way and have a relationship that's so much deeper and so much more real. You know, I was infatuated with her. She's beautiful. I can't believe she's dating me. And you know, I'm this little nerdy band guy. You know, she's dating me. She wants to marry me. I got her tricked. I got her tricked all the way to the altar, Marty. All the way. She caught on to me at some point, but she had not at that point. My kids, when they were all born, loved them. Little babies, little cute babies, you know, all these guys, little cute little things. They're squishy and they're cute. And man, I love those kids. Would have died for them the second they came into this world. Would have died for them in the womb. Would have. Loved them that much. But I've walked through some stuff with my children now, and they've walked through some stuff with me. Cindy, I can't compare that deep relationship, you know? Gosh, Sid, I mean, I think about Sid, I'll be honest with y'all, I don't have a lot of close guy friends. I don't. That's just not how I roll. I just don't. Maybe I should. I just don't. Anyway, this is not a therapy session. Sorry. You got to be careful. You start talking up here. I've been through a lot of stuff with Sid. You know, I know Sid's heart. And I know when Sid says something sometimes, and if you didn't know Sid, you'd be like, what on earth is this joker talking about? Like, what? But I know Sid, and I know his heart, and I know what he means. I've known him that long. We've walked through some stuff together. I know his heart. I don't know those things if everything's peachy keen all the time. I don't know anything. If Kami and I had gotten married and we gotten, like, you know, the whole no problems whatsoever, you know, we got all the raises, we got all the promotions, we got all this money, we got the house, and we got the bigger house, and the bigger house, and we got the white picket fence, and then the taller white picket fence, and then, you know, all the stuff. You know, if all of our kids were just perfect, never made any mistakes, never did anything wrong, if we never had any challenges, I would have no clue who she is. I would have this rosy picture of how rosy things are, and the second something bad happened, we wouldn't know how to deal with it. We wouldn't know how to walk through it. We would have no clue whatsoever. If every time Jesus got on the front of my boat and says, nope, stop it, nope, nope, don't do anything bad to him. Don't do anything bad to him. No, 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 no. And that's what we want, though. I mean, that's what I want. That's what I pray for every time. And I don't think we're wrong in wanting that, okay? I've said this before. I don't think God wants us like, Lord, please give me a challenge today. Lord, please let me shipwreck today. I don't think he expects us to pray that. I don't think that's like something that we should necessarily be like. So I think when somebody comes and needs healing, and I do not understand healing in the least, other than I know for a fact God can heal people, does heal people, has healed people, will heal people. I understand all that. But how it works, I don't know. So all I know to do every time, Scott, all I know to do is pray that your brother is healed from cancer. That's all I know to do, because you know what? He programmed me that way. Just like Mary's programmed to be a little more quiet, observe, listen, whatever. He's programmed me to say, God, I heal him. Heal him. And I think that's okay. And I think God's cool with that. I think he's cool with that. You know, I think there's times that he listens to that because that's needed. And that's what he wants to do. It's us trying to figure out when he doesn't do it that we get so frustrated, because we've set up God to be like, well, you're always going to answer my prayers. And we get the scriptures, you know, whatever he has, you know, is asking my name, you know. And that's confusing. And I'm not here to answer that question. I always say when I preach, you guys walk away like more confused. Like, what? What? I'm not answering that question. But we put that on God. Pressure exposes things. I remember a couple weeks ago, or a month ago, or something, I don't know what, it was just like windy as all get out. Like for days. Like for days on end. It was just windy. It's like just hammering wind. Like, and you'd drive by stuff and, you know, you'd see pieces of houses, you know, pulled off. And you'd see limbs and just random stuff be floating around in the trash cans, of course, everything. Eric, when you build something, it's anybody can build a house that'll stand up in perfect conditions. Anybody. If I want to build something, I could build it out of cardboard, make it look nice. But when it's under pressure, when the wind and the waves are hitting it, what's left? When it's put in that fire, what's going to be consumed and what's going to be left? And God wants you to be left. He wants his relationship with you and him to be left when it's over. So he's going to let you be on a boat for 14 days because he wants something bigger. There are times that he will give us the Jesus boat experience. And in those times, he will build our faith. You see somebody get healed. You see somebody get healed, it's going to build your faith. I'm sorry, it will. But there are times that we will be in Paul's boat because he wants to build our relationship. He wants to build his relationship with you. He wants you to see his heart. He wants you to put something into this thing. He wants you. So what's easier for God? I think it's easier for God just to heal us. I think it's easier for God just to stop the wind and the waves. I think that's easier. I'll be honest with you, I think Jesus was tired. I think he was physically tired that night. He was asleep. He was a man. We have to remember, he had a body like a man. He was a physical man. He was tired. He was asleep on a cushion, and it was stormy. I think Jesus was like, you know what? We could really do a lesson right now. I could get the guys around. We could sit in this storm. I could throw Peter out and make him walk back to me. I could do all sorts of stuff right now. I could have a lot of fun. But you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to do the easy thing. I'm going to hit the easy button. Wind, wave, stop. Boom. Okay, can I go back to sleep now? Guys, I don't know that that is going to hold water if you go to seminary, but I think he was tired. because it's easier. That's easier. I think that's easier for God. He's not dealing with. Would it have been easier for God, the children of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, easier for God just to strengthen their hearts and to give them courage, so all they got to do is walk into the promised land and we're done. Man, they're in the promised land. All right, let's start taking over kingdoms. But God wanted a people that loved him, not a people that were just getting favors from him and miracles from him. He wanted a people who loved him for who he was, loved him for his heart for them. That's why he did not do that. He had something so much more important than us getting a promised land, so much more important than us being comfortable, so much more important than us just being feeling great and being happy all the time. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to build something deep with us. And that is difficult. That is hard. That is not easy. But that is what we want. We want it to be that way. Where this all started, I'm kind of wrapping this up, but where I really started thinking about this was there are times in our life that we're going to pray that the mountain is moved, and it will be moved. Jesus says, he has faith, you know, move this mountain, it'll jump into the sea. But then there are times that God will climb that mountain with us. There are times that God will part the sea for us, like he did the children of Israel. But then there's times that he will call us out on the water like he did Peter and say, this wind and this wave, they're not stopping right now. And I'm not parting this water for you right now. I'm not giving you dry land right now, but I want by faith for you to walk on this water. I want you to do something you've never done before with me, because you're going to grow in this. And not only are you going to grow, the people that are watching this are going to grow. And then thousands of years later at Victory Fellowship, they're going to be reading it and they're going to grow from it. There's times just like Gideon that all we're going to have to do and all God's going to require us to do is hold the lantern in the middle of the night while he defeats the enemy. That's all Gideon did. His first great battle, if you look at it, all he did was hold up a lantern, crack that lantern, there's a light under it, and he said, I got to hold the light for you while you take care of the enemy. And then there's times like David, you've got to strap on a sword, and you've got to go fight. But he'll be with you. There's times that God will heal your issue immediately, and there's times that God will give you grace to walk through it. And some days he's going to tell you to strike the rock. He told Moses to strike the rock. And some days he's going to tell you to speak to the rock. Know where you're at. Know where you're at. So where's our frustration come from? This is something that I feel like is an important point. And I'm kind of wrapping it up, but we're humans. We get frustrated. Sharon, we get frustrated with God. I do. And my frustration will come from, I think, a lot of times this. When I'm climbing with everything I've got up a mountain, when I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to climb this mountain. I'm going to do this in my strength. Yeah, I want you to come with me. I want you to be there with me. But I see this mountain in front of me. I see this difficult situation in front of me. I see this whatever it is. And I'm going to soldier on. I'm going to put one step in front of the other. And I'm going to climb this mountain. And God will let you do that. But make sure he's wanting you to do that. Because do not try to climb a mountain that he wants you to speak to. And he wants to throw that mountain into the sea. Because we're trying to do it by our own will and our own power and our own knowledge and how good and great we are and how spiritual we are, or however it is. Maybe with good intentions, we're climbing that mountain. We're going up and saying, I'm going to attack this thing. I'm going to climb this mountain. I'm going to get over it because I'm a good Christian person. And God's like, I don't want you to climb this mountain. Get off the mountain so I can throw it into the sea and you can walk straight. And we also get frustrated when we're standing in front of that mountain saying, in the name of Jesus, move, go into the sea. And it just sits there. And we're like, in the name of Jesus, move. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to worship harder. I'm going to get closer to Him. I'm going to learn more about Him. All those things are great, but God says, put on your hiking boots. We got a climb to make. We got some work to do. We got 14 days in a boat that I've got to teach you something. It's nothing that you can learn down here in the valley standing there looking at that mountain. There are things we can only learn when we're standing on the side of a cliff somewhere and don't know where to put our next step without Jesus. There's only certain things that we can learn in that place. I can't learn them down here. Paul walked away with a different understanding of who God was than the 12 disciples did that day. Now, they learned it later on. They learned it. But in that instant, they said, wow, let's see, God is like, He commands the wind and the waves, and we're okay. Everything's cool. What? And Paul's like swimming for his life. I know You command the wind and the waves, but You need me on this island to heal somebody. So whatever You want to do, God, how do we get there? How do I get to the place to say, God, whether it's being shipwrecked or You calming the storms, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. You want to shipwreck me 3 times? Okay. Hey, if that's what I got to do, if that's what You've called me to do, that's what we're going to do. And look at it in that way. My sermons always end abruptly. Okay, we're done. Scott, you're walking in a 14-day, 14-month, whatever. A lot of people are. I mean, you're walking through stuff. And we have different things. There can be certain things in your life. You're in the boat with Jesus. And this other thing in your life, you're in the boat with Paul. You know? It's not like this general, my whole boat is this. It's like, okay, my work boat may be one thing. My home boat may be another one. My church boat may be another one. We got a lot of boats that we ride in. But at the end of the day, guys, and this is why I feel like I say the same thing every time I get up here. But if it's the only thing you ever hear me say, He loves you and He wants a relationship with you. So bad. He wants you so bad that He'll let you walk through some tough stuff. Because as a parent, we don't like to watch our kids walk through stuff. You know, we want to snatch them out. Oh, no, that's not cool. I don't want somebody to make fun of you at school. No. I don't want you to walk through a difficult situation. Oh, no, I don't want you to have a boo-boo on your knee. We're going to fix that immediately. That's what we naturally do as parents. But because we love them, Marty, we let them go to school and trip over their shoelaces sometimes until they learn how to tie their shoelaces. God loves us so much. So, assess if I'm supposed to be, which boat are you supposed to be in? Again, this is the part that I don't know how to tell you how to do, and I'll go home and figure it out kind of thing. But are you climbing a mountain you're supposed to move, or moving a mountain, trying to move a mountain you're supposed to climb? And that's kind of my main point. And take that and do with it what God wants you to do. That kind of wraps up. Sid did want me to give you all the announcements again. He told me 3 times, so I'm gonna make sure I do it. hey, make sure. I'm like, okay, make sure. Yeah, you gonna tell? Okay. I'm not gonna worry about children's church and nursery. We got that covered. Youth night, March 17th at 5:30 p.m. at Victory. So that's next week, right? That's next week, and it's here. Did they say it was here? Is it here? Is that right? All right. So that's here. Shine for Jesus event is it's the same day here. See, I didn't listen earlier. That's why he told me. He said, James, I know you're not listening to these announcements, so I want you to read them. Sorry, so the same day. And that's the outdoor thing where it's, you know, the glow in the dark. Really cool. Make sure ages 4 to 12. Nursery will be available for the children of volunteers. If you're volunteering, somebody's going to keep your kids, teach them how to tie their shoes. Easter sunrise service, March 31st, 7:15 a.m. So that is a cool, it is pretty cool. If you can get up and get here, please do. I don't know. I think it's cool to have church outside. I don't. I think we should have church outside like more often. Just like, hey, y'all want to go outside? You know, you always have that teacher in school that was like, hey, let's just go outside and have class today. You're like, that's awesome. Let's do it. I mean, you know, I don't talk Sid into doing that. He was like, hey, everybody, get your lawn chairs. We're going to go outside this morning. Because I believe you see him. Even out here in this pasture that's in the middle of Bremen, Georgia, you see him. And yeah, you can go to Glacier National Park and see him. And yeah, you can go to Argentina and see him. Yeah, because he's everywhere. But you stand out here and you see the wind blow through these trees and you see birds and you see him. You see him. That's why I like to go places, Marty, that are nature-filled. Cities don't impress me. I'm not a city person. I mean, you know, God bless them. You got to have cities. They have to have airports. You have to have things like that. I understand them for commerce, but cities don't impress me. This building is a beautiful building. You know, built in the 90s when this building was built. And I mean, it's been kept up very nice. It doesn't impress me. I'm impressed that people can build stuff. You know, Eric, don't take this wrong, but I mean, it's cool people build houses. I mean, that's cool. But I can watch them build it. They're building a Waffle House out there by our place, which is exciting. Buchanan's getting a Waffle House. So we may do church there one morning. But I can watch that happen, you know. I'm like, okay, they're pouring the concrete. Okay, they're pulling wire. Okay, that's cool. Look how they did that. That's neat. You can learn how they do it. Go to the Grand Canyon and tell me how that happened. Explain that one to me. Go see a sequoia tree that's so big around that you can't see the other side of it. Explain to me how that thing lasted so long and how somebody divinely created that thing. I can show you how the Golden Gate Bridge was built. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about now. Where'd I go? Oh, yeah, outdoors. Yeah, yeah. Y'all stand up. We'll pray. I'll get you out of here. Sorry. Sorry about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in this room, God. We thank you for just wanting to teach us things. We thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for the opportunity to get to worship you this morning, Heavenly Father, to be in your presence, to walk in and see you face to face this morning, God. We just thank you for that, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room, God. I lift up every situation that every person in this room represents, Heavenly Father. And God, you know every situation. You know multiple situations with every one of us, God. We all bring different things, God. We're all in different boats. We all feel like, you know, it's in a different place. And I don't know, God, how you want to deliver us, how you want to teach us, how you want us to navigate through this thing, God. But there's one thing for certain is that you love us and you want to do it with us, Heavenly Father. So, God, I pray that we turn to you no matter where we're at on that boat. I pray that we turn and find you and say, God, no matter what, whether you want to stop this immediately and you want to heal this thing immediately, or if you want me to stay on this boat another 14 days, whatever it is, I'm here for it. And God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to hear your voice. I want to be in deep relationship with you, God. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this beautiful day that you've created, God. And I pray as Easter does approach and as we begin to think on the cross and we begin to think about who you are and how much you love us and how you sent your Son for us and how you left your Holy Spirit here and all the wonderful, wonderful things that you do just because you love us, God, I pray that we ponder on the cross, we ponder on who you are, we ponder on Jesus and how his blood has covered all of our sins. So that I can have this relationship with you, so I can be on the same boat with you, that you can walk with me. So God, I pray we put our lives in perspective and we keep focused on you, Heavenly Father. Love you. Thank you, God. Just be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.